This is the Life with Grief podcast, the podcast that talks about and normalizes the complexities of grief, life after loss, and all this entails, and so much more. I want you to think of this podcast as a safe space where I'm a friendly face and we're just journeying through this together to figure out how to live life with our grief in tow. I'm your host, Tara Accardo. I'm a grief and transformational life coach, and I'm here to serve you guidance, support, tangible coping tools, inspiration, and some laughs along the way to help you cultivate a more meaningful, intentional, and beautiful life. But grieving or not, we're getting into countless topics here on the podcast, from coping with loss to self-development and so much more. I'm so grateful you're here. Let's dive right in. All right. Welcome back to another installment of our little Grief Myths mini series with Shay Wingate. Today, we are digging into four new grief myths that we see all the time in this grief coaching counseling space that we're in. If you missed part one of this series, be sure to check out episode 46 and also check out Shay's Grief Myths mini series, which she created, and it's a brand new offering of hers. This is all linked in the show description as well. But before we dive in, Shay, super quick, do you want to maybe just give like a really high level description of this one more time for anyone who isn't familiar with it or hasn't had a chance to listen to part one yet, just before we dive in so they can kind of understand where we're coming from with this little series we're doing?
Yeah, absolutely. Well, thanks for having me back. And yes, so the mini series is 13 modules. Each one of them has a video from me, journal prompts that you can explore, and some really practical self-care tips. So this is a great program for somebody who's maybe already working with a grief professional or working with a counselor and they want some grief-specific support. It's great for somebody who's, you know, new to grief and has no idea. It's awesome because it's self-paced. So really, you can go through it as quickly or slowly as you need. And once you have access, like, you can go back to it as many times as you want. So to access it, it's a paid page on my website and it's just $30. And I really wanted people to be able to feel like this is something that they could use as a tool that is, not overwhelming for them in terms of time or finances, but it's really something that can help them navigate these grief myths. The reason I created this series is because I had so many grief myths. I would have told you I didn't have any, but of course I did. And I hear them all the time working with my grieving clients. So it's just a way to help you kind of think about what you believe about grief and see if that's tripping you up. Because I found that a lot of grief myths really were tripping me up. And it put a lot of pressure on me during my grieving process. And if I kind of created the thing I wish I'd had. So this mini series is, you know, my, I wish I had this, so I didn't, and I created it, you know, experience, I guess. So I hope people check it out, but we're going to be talking about some of those myths today. So this is a little like teaser of more of what you'll find in this series.
Yeah. Yeah. I love that we're doing this because I said this in the previous episode too, you know, we're doing this very high level for the purposes of this conversation, but yeah, these are really worth diving into. Shay's done such a great job of making this like as digestible and affordable and user friendly as possible. But honestly, like you said, I feel like some of these myths that come up, some hit you earlier on in your grieving journey. Some might not hit you until later. You might not experience until later. And so there's no time frame on any of these either. It could be years down the line after you lose someone or you go through something kind of traumatic and then this is hitting you and you're just like, how do I navigate this? Right. And you've done, you know, the work sort of, so people don't have to, in a way, to, you know, help cope with that through, you know, journal prompts, which is super important. All that self-reflection and everything, I think, is a huge part of how to cope with grief. So like I said, all in the show description, please go check it out. It's a great resource. But yeah, that kind of sparked this whole mini series that we're doing here on the podcast as well. And I love that we've just really been having some, dare I say, fun conversations around this. Just talking about it, sharing a little bit of our experiences, but ultimately kind of like a little bit of a lightning round with some of these grief myths, and just how they can affect us in our healing journey for sure. So,
yeah, I love that you said that they could hit you at any time. That's such a good point. Something I don't know if we've really touched on, but a lot of times we think that oh, if I'm going to have a grief myth, I'm going to have it right away. And if I'm like 4 months in, like I'm good, I don't need this and it's not going to affect me. But, you know, grief is a lifelong journey. You're going to be grieving this loss when things in your life change, and grief hits differently at year three than it, you know, month four. So you're absolutely right. That's such a good point. I'm really glad that you brought that up.
Yeah. Yeah. Cause I was even like looking at sort of our, like the things we're going over either today and like some of these other, you know, the series episodes. And I'm like, yeah, I mean, all of them I've experienced at some point so far pretty much, but like, I would definitely say some of them hit differently or maybe hit harder either early on, like you said, in that acute grief stage, or, and some of them, if not more recently, possibly like when I've had to sort of like re-grieve my parents for some reason. So yeah, I mean, it's just, it's important to just hold space to understand these and how to navigate them, like kind of at any point. Yeah. So, I mean, I know probably a lot of listeners are all over the spectrum in terms of where we're at in our grieving journeys, but you know, again, all the more reason that these are so approachable to sort of where we're at. And also like, and you have a gifting, I just want to say, like, you have a gifting option for this too, right? So yeah, like if this is something like you are seeing someone around you, like if you maybe want to help somebody, but they like can't really communicate like what kind of help they need, or you want to do something a little more impactful than like making them a lasagna, not to knock lasagnas, but like, you know, food's great and all, but like, if you really want to help them, you know, really cope and like an impactful way, like this could be an amazing gift too. And it's like, just subtle enough. And you can even be like, you know, I understand you might have some of this being thrown at you. I just want you to, you know, like, listen, you're not alone. This is super common. Like if this can help you through it, like, you know, it's something, right? And it's unique and it's actually really helpful.
Versus, yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
food's great, but it's gone in a day. So
yeah. And what like I love about the gifting option is like, you don't have to use it, open it right away. It's not as if you have 7 days to go through the whole series. And so when you're gifting it to someone, you can gift it to them and just say like, whenever you're ready, this is here for you. And it's also a great tool for people supporting grievers, because it helps us just increase our grief literacy. Yeah. And so maybe you're in this position, you're listening to this podcast because your friend is going through grief and you want to understand more and be supportive. Buy the series for yourself. It's $30. You can share the information you learn or the questions with your friends. I don't care. I want people to get this information and to feel empowered and to start talking about grief. Mm-hmm. So this would be a great thing for someone as a supporter to use for themselves too. Or if you're a teacher or you're an HR, you know, or you're a therapist, you're going to come in contact with grief. So why not educate yourself?
Yeah, definitely. And this is so morbid and I hate to say this, but like, let's say you haven't been through a big loss, you kind of never know when you might. So like, even if you do get this for someone else, but like you end up finding the information useful, I hope you never do, but listen, we are.
Yes.
So yeah, it can benefit so many people across the board. So
yeah, one of the such a good point.
I love it. Yeah. So, all right. So let's get into it. So myth number one for today's episode is that there is a right and a wrong way to grieve.
Yeah. So this one, you know, is so interesting because people gave me a lot of advice on like how to grieve, or they understood what I was going through because they had a loss similar to mine or not even. And so this is a subtle myth that we have this idea that there's a right way to do things and there's a wrong way to do things. And even if you're, that's why I love the discussion question, because it helps you become conscious of these things like that you believe. But really, the truth is everyone is grieving their own unique relationship with that person who died that no one else had, even if you were in the same family. You know, my siblings grieve differently than I did. So they are grieving this specific relationship that you weren't a part of and you don't like necessarily understand. And then everyone's got their own personality, everyone's got their own comfort level with emotions. So there really isn't a right or wrong way to grieve. Of course, let's put this caveat out there that there's unhelpful things that you could do. I like posted something about this on Instagram and then somebody said like, well, doing this is wrong, like drinking is wrong when you're grieving. It's like, well, okay, I understand that you're saying there's some hurtful things.
Sometimes your girl just needs a glass of wine. Okay.
But right. Maybe drinking was wrong for you, but for me, sometimes it was like helpful.
I just ate a cocktail.
I know. Yeah. So I understand that there's things that we do that, you know, can be unhelpful. But that's not what we're saying in this, you know, myth here. We're saying that just because your grief looks different than your family's doesn't mean you're doing it wrong. Or just because their grief looks different than yours doesn't mean that they're doing it wrong either. So for us to just really stop and think, okay, we have this picture of what grief looks like in movies or in from our own past experience with grief, but they're grieving their own relationship and that's going to look different.
Yeah. Yeah. Well said. Yeah. I can't count how many times, like whether or not someone was doing it like maliciously. And that's the thing. I feel like we've talked about this in some of the other myths too, but like, I feel like sometimes when people impose stuff on us, like 9 times out of 10, it's out of love. It's because they're trying to support, or it's like, this worked for me. Maybe it'll work for you. Or they're maybe a little more assertive about it. They're like, you need to try this. This worked for me. This helped me. Sometimes that's great. And sometimes that's actually true. And maybe it's helpful, but like sometimes I appreciated it so much more when people, and actually this is very true for me too, like kind of on a sidebar, but like becoming a mom recently or like throughout my pregnancy, as people were like, you know, you need to do this or try this or whatever. I like, oh my God, probably actually worse than when I was grieving. Cause like, you know, all the moms come out of the woodwork when you get pregnant and have a kid, but either way, it's just like, there's just this, I don't know if this is like an innate part of like, as we are hardwired as humans, but like to help in that way, or just, you know, we're very like ego driven beings in sometimes. So like, I feel like people feel the need to do that, but it's often out of help. It's often coming from a good place. But I also feel like there can be sort of like but that's where like it can kind of mess with our mind sometimes, because we might have people coming in and saying different things, or like, no, you really should try this, or, oh no, no, that didn't really work. Or, you know what I mean? So then, you know, depending on, that's where I feel like we just have to get so grounded with ourselves and with what is or would work for us and who we are as a being. And, you know, I always say, like, I kind of like would take people's opinions or suggestions or whatever and just like put it in the back of my head. And you never know, like something someone suggests might not land for you right now, but it might later on when you're in a different phase of your grief, or you're just in a different place in life, and that it might be more fitting at that point. That's definitely happened to me too. But yeah, we have to be careful, because I feel like there are some times when we might, you know, hear or see things that people say or feel like we should be doing in our grief that can make us question, you know, whether we're doing something right or not. And especially that I think we've talked about this, but like the whole, you know, the first year is the worst, and you know that like you should be over it by now, like that, those kinds of things. And just societally, is that a word? Anyway, from a societal perspective, that can really definitely make us feel like we're doing something wrong if that's like not the accepted, you know, time of grieving. And that's a whole nother rabbit hole that I won't go down. But yeah,
there's so many factors. That's like
so many
nuances
to this particular myth. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. Someone might not feel safe to start their grieving process yet, or there might be other things that they're worried about. A lot of times when a parent has died and I'm working with the surviving parent, we talk about their kids a lot.
Yeah.
And that's okay. They're worried about their kids and they want to talk about that. And it wouldn't be helpful for me to just not listen to that or not support them with that. Cause that's a part of their grief. Like that's what their focus is. So, I could see how maybe someone would think that would be avoidant in your grief therapy or talking about your children. But for me, it's like, this is what they need to talk about. This is where their head's at. And it makes sense. They lost their partner.
Point. Yeah. It's like, it's your partner, but like, it's like your family unit that has then changed too. And like, you know, you don't have to be a parent to know that, like, you know, a lot of your kids come first, or that really takes priority. You know, not that your partner's not important, obviously, but like, yeah, there's such a mourning period, not only of your partner, but then again, that whole family unit, you almost have to grieve that differently and almost separately than, you know, the partner. It's just so many complexities to this whole thing. So, Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, I feel like that was a really eye-opening one for me, because with my siblings especially, just like so interesting how even they thought of our family members differently than I did. I just learned about how they saw the people that died, and I saw those people so differently. So I'm not gonna like get into all of that, because I'm not trying to like, you know, tell my brother's business. But it was just interesting that we saw the same person differently.
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, like you said earlier, you know, we're all unique in our personalities. We have different relationships with people. So like, how can we expect, yeah, grief to be the same way? Our brains are all wired differently. Some of us might experience more anger. Some of us might experience more like longing. You know what I mean? Like, I think I mentioned in another episode, like I personally didn't feel like I had a ton of anger per se around my parents' losses. I mean, there's a little bit in there, but you know, it's just, again, like why we just can't hold each other to any standards or expectations, or, you know what I mean? Like, it's just, and you kind of touched on this too. We are raised to grieve very differently, or we are, you know, I don't want to say conditioned, I guess is, well, I guess that is kind of the word I'm trying to use. You know, we're conditioned to grieve openly, or for that to be really, you know, kind of like, okay, tamp it down, get it together, be strong, you know, don't cry, like that kind of thing, you know? So yeah, which I would not recommend, by the way, like,
yeah, let it out, but yeah, definitely let it out. It will find its way out. So if you can be if you can open the door rather than the door being busted open, that might be nicer for you.
Seriously. Well, you have to take the control back.
Yeah, even though the door might be busted open regardless, but you know, maybe less often than it would have been otherwise.
Like eventually prepare, at least that way.
My experience, you know, running from the grief never worked.
Nope, it'll find you one way or another.
Yes.
Moral of the story, there is no right or wrong way to grieve. It is, you know, I'm sure if there's anything about grief that people have often heard, is it's a very unique and individual experience, but like, as often as that might be heard and said, or it really is so true. So
do you think people hear that though? Because I think the reason this myth is so big is because there's the five stages of grief. Yes. You know, we've talked about that at some point in one of the episodes, but I really think the reason this is a myth is because we think that there is a really clear path, or we hope, you know, yeah, we wish there was like a manual and a really clear path, but it's not. So I think that's this is one of those sneaky myths.
Yeah. Honestly, maybe I said that because I'm in the grief space and I do see this a lot. It's like, yeah, it's like, you know, chin up, like there's, yeah, but no, that's very true. I guess that's why we're talking about these, right? Because in the general, I guess I'll say public, like people do feel like they are grieving incorrectly, and that can lead to a lot of very unresolved grief. So yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. We are lucky enough to be around some really good information about grief, but not everyone is until they need to be.
Right. And even then, and actually this is literally a perfect segue into the next myth, but this is like, yeah, actually we could not have planned this better. That myth is I'm strange for needing help. And I just feel like that's, you know, like if you feel like you are not grieving correctly, or if there is like something wrong with you, or you're just like, first of all, I just want to bust this right now and then I'm going to hand it off to you. You are not strange for needing help. That is literally the work that you and I do, is because people need help. Grief is confusing. It's exhausting. It's hard to navigate. It's not just the acute, like early grief. It is figuring out how to do life with your grief after the loss and all of that entails. So I want to pass it off to you, but yeah, this is an important myth. I am strange for needing help.
Yeah. Well, like we've kind of touched on a little bit, there's not a lot of grief literacy in our society. And so you need help because it's something that we don't talk about, that we run away from. So it's not strange that you need help. It's strange that we don't do a better job of this in our society. And I needed a lot of help. It's very hard to see ourselves, especially when we're in this time of immense stress, which grief is a stress. It's very stressful. So I needed a lot of help. I still need support and help. And I'm in, like, I would say my grief is mature now. It's not acute. It's not early. It's mature grief. It's a grief that I live with and I, for the most part, carry pretty well, but that doesn't mean I still don't need help. And help might mean just someone to talk to about it, or yeah, or like listen to me, or to process something, you know, or to validate me. And so you're not strange for needing help. It's strange that we don't do a better job with this thing that everyone is going to go through, and not even just, not even death related grief. There's all kinds of grief. So it's strange that we don't have better resources in our world.
Yeah. Okay. I love what you just said there. And I want to touch on that, because often, especially on this podcast too, admittedly, like, we do talk about the loss of a loved one, because I feel like that is what a majority of the people really are struggling with their grief in. But that being said, like, and I know you've spoken to this, and you've spoken to this really well, like, there could be sort of a grieving of, like, loss of expectations, the ending of a relationship, be that a divorce or just, you know, a breakup or a friendship breakup, like, even with job, like, I talked about that on the podcast recently too, like, the loss of a job and that loss of identity and stuff. So as far as, like, the needing help, like, yeah, like you said, it is not specific to that of a loved one who died. That could possibly be a catalyst for some things. Or you might be going through some other type of loss, and then you maybe lose somebody, and then you're really, like, just feel lost in this ocean without a life raft, right? So there could be a lot of things that we need help with and help navigating. And I think that's the thing about grief too, is a lot of it can actually be very intertwined and we might not even realize it. So there's a lot to unpack, and that's really hard to do by ourselves sometimes if we don't have the right coping tools or the right, I want to say the right mindset, but, like, you know, it's helpful to have someone, and often a third party, like, you know, a counselor or a coach or therapist, whoever, to, if nothing else, just, like, bounce ideas off of. Like, I'll say, like, I went to therapy a little bit after my dad died. So my mom had died 6 months prior, and then my dad, and then I was like, and then, but I was also grieving the end of a relationship at that time. So it was, like, a lot going on. And I went and got help for that. And we did talk about this in another episode, but, like, I found myself talking more about the ending of the relationship, almost more so than my dad. And I felt guilty about that. But it just, you know, again, there was a lot going on in that period of time. I was trying to make sense of it all. But what I almost realized was I just needed, like, a third party, unbiased, like, someone who kind of was not related to me, honestly, to, or didn't know my boyfriend, now husband at the time, to, like, talk through that with. And that's beautiful and okay too. Like, you know, there's a time and a space for that, that we might need that. So, and there's nothing strange about it. Like, my God, we got to keep our sanity somehow. Like,
yeah. And you can ask yourself, like, if a friend that I, a dear friend, someone I really love and want the best for, if they got help, would I think that was strange? And if the answer is no, then why is it strange for you? But this is a sneaky myth. It might not come to your head, like, I'm strange for needing help. It might come into your head of, like, well, I don't have the time for that. Or, you know, like, I'm going to see how it goes. Yeah. It's like, well, why are you going to see how it goes? Even though you are struggling, you're going to see if it gets better, because maybe deep underneath that, it's like, oh, admitting that I need help would make me strange. But I think it would be pretty brave to say, and I was like, I needed a lot of help, and I was glad I got it.
Yeah. There was something you said about, kind of seeing how it goes, or just, like, you know, kind of waiting. And I always say, like, I say this with my membership and stuff too.
Real quick interruption here, and then we'll get back to this episode. If you're someone who is experiencing some form of loss and are trying to navigate the complexities of grief, which you likely are in some capacity if you've stumbled upon this podcast, then this message is for you. If you haven't heard about my Life with Grief membership and community yet, this is truly something you need to check out. This membership is here to guide you into living a deeper, more meaningful, and full life after experiencing loss. Who doesn't want that, right? I created this membership because I know what it's like to navigate and cope with grief on a daily basis, and I know the tools and support it takes to do this effectively. I've done the work myself, and I've coached people just like you to do the same. It comes down to having impactful, effective resources and tools at your disposal, having the right support around you from people who can understand and empathize with your grief, And having encouragement and inspiration around you consistently to not only elicit and spark change, but to keep it and keep the positive momentum going. Enrollment opens once a month for a limited time. Check out the details linked in the description, and I hope to see you in there.
I was like, what exactly are you waiting for? Like, especially if you know that like your life could be more at peace. It could be a little bit better. You could carry your grief a little less heavy, you know, like it's sort of like, what are you waiting for? And there's so many reasons that people might have to wait. You know, I get that financially, like there's so many aspects to it, which again is why it is great with what you put together here. Very affordable option. But, you know, there is just so many places you can get the Facebook groups. Like I've joined a few like that. So it's just, you know, like mom groups or something like that, that are maybe like struggling, you know, they're maybe their partner passed away. You know what I mean? So there's so many different areas that we can get this kind of help. And maybe we might realize that we need different types of help throughout our lives. And so we explore different things. So, you know, sure, you can't kind of force anyone to get the help that they need for sure. Like we do have to have the motivation and we do have to feel that that's right for us. But yeah, I mean, not to put too fine a point on it, but I see a lot of excuses in this that kind of come along with this myth. So that's just another, you know, aspect of it too, that I just want to mention.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Look, I know it's scary. I was terrified to get support, and I'm a therapist. And I was scared to go and face this. So like, I can understand why somebody would be really scared. Mm-hmm. And I told myself, like, I'm going to go 5 times and then I'll decide if I want to keep going. And so that allowed me to kind of suspend the judgment for a little bit and then get more comfortable and settle in. And then I was okay. Yeah. And go do it scared. That's okay.
Yeah.
It will get better. And you can take it slow. Like if you're working with someone or you're doing something like the course or something like your membership, like you can take it at your pace.
Yeah.
Getting started is really the hardest part, but you will feel better just by getting started. You're going to be so proud of yourself. Yeah.
Yeah. There might be some discomfort there, but at the same time, like hopefully, and if it is a one-on-one thing that people are like working with, like they're there to hold a safe and sacred space for you. And sometimes we don't have that in our loved ones or in our sort of usual like day-to-day life, right? Sometimes we don't always have that safe space to go to. So yeah. And also I would definitely say with like therapy or a coach or counselor, whoever, you know, finding the right person for sure, the energetics of it. So there's a lot I think to consider, but like really just going with your intuition and, you know, thinking about the types of help that there is out there, Googling it if you have to, but also like just seeing what resonates with you, or thinking about like, what about like, that's what something I did at least was like, okay, what about my grief is like the hardest right now? Or what is it really that I'm struggling with? And that was a tough thing to face. You know, these are not easy questions that we have to ask ourselves sometimes, but in doing that, we can sometimes recognize like, oh, this maybe isn't actually what I thought it was, or I'm actually really struggling with something else. Let me seek help maybe specifically for that. Or there's, you know, there's something in it there. So also, you know, that's just a message for anybody who maybe is confused about the type of help that they should get too. You know, and like you said, just try it for a little bit. If it doesn't resonate with you, try a different working with a different professional, or try a group setting instead. You know, that's the other thing too. I've definitely noticed, like, you know, some people really enjoy working on a one-on-one setting. Some people really prefer the community aspect, the group aspect. They need that. They want people around them that can like empathize with what they're going through. But some people, that's a very individual, and you know, maybe they're just a little more introverted with their journey, and that's okay too. So yeah, the help comes in all shapes and sizes for sure.
Yeah, definitely. Maybe try both, and then if you can't do both, then pick the one that's helping you the most.
Yep. Yeah. Well said. All right. Grief myth number 3. I love this one. So I just want to hand this one straight off to you.
Okay.
I shouldn't be happy while grieving.
Yeah.
This makes me sad.
I know. Yeah. This is so common. People talk to me about feeling like it's a bit of a betrayal to feel happy. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I felt that way too sometimes. And maybe you're not, like I said earlier, it's not coming to your brain as I shouldn't be happy, but maybe you find yourself like avoiding going and doing new things or taking opportunities or making changes because you don't want to maybe like feel like you're moving on, in quotes, moving on from your loved one.
Yeah.
But really, research shows that positive experiences help our outcome. But here's the thing, positive experiences during your acute early grief are not going to be the same thing that you thought of as positive experiences before. So I really didn't understand this. Like, remember if it was like my dad's 1 year anniversary and my friend was like, let's go whitewater rafting or something crazy. And I was like, no, like I cannot do that.
Hard pass thing.
I know. I just was like, my body is like bricks and I'm not getting in that dangerous boat. Like, no. So I felt like I couldn't go and do things because I didn't have the same, you know, energy and I couldn't go take a big risk, but that doesn't mean I didn't need any positive experiences. So maybe what your positive experience is I'm going to go to this coffee shop and I'm going to buy a latte and a cookie and I'm going to sit there and just eat it and just be out of my house, be in the world. But it's a positive experience, but it's safe. And it doesn't have to be something that's such a big change or such a drastic, like, experience.
Right.
So, it's something that I almost like didn't give myself permission to have positive experiences. And I really didn't want a lot to change. And that was, and I ended up like almost feeding into some negative, feelings and like making things harder than it needed to be. And I see this with people a lot. They don't want to betray their loved one. Like I said, they don't want to feel happy because it feels wrong. Like they're forgetting the person, right, or they're like leaving their grief behind, even though we want to feel better. Feeling really bad makes us feel close to our loved ones, or it did for me, and I've heard this from other people. So it's like this push pull, like I don't want to feel this bad because it's horrible, but feeling good feels wrong. But it's okay to have something in the middle, like just something soothing. Maybe instead of positive, you should think, what's soothing, what's calming, what's relaxing.
Yeah. Okay. I love that you said that because I also feel like what I've seen a lot with this one too, like it kind of goes along with this grief myth is like people feel like it's sort of like almost like a bigger, go big or go home sort of thing. So like they can't go be happy at someone's like birthday party, or they can't go on the trip that they planned. Or I think we've even talked about this maybe in our episode from last year around like relationships and getting married and stuff, but like, people feel like they maybe like can't or don't want to get married even because their loved one isn't going to be there. I hear that
was
more
me.
Times than that really makes me so sad. Understandable, but it's like, so I think a lot of people think with this one that it might mean like going out and really experiencing going to a concert, God forbid you laugh or have a drink with some friends and actually have a nice evening or afternoon out or, you know, something like that. But this could just be something as simple. And I bring this up because this was something that really helped me. I was sent a book by a friend, Untamed by Glennon Doyle. I've probably brought this book up on this podcast before, but it was like the first book I read post dad loss. And I spent a lot of time by myself after my parents died. Like, yeah, I had some friends come over and like, whatever, but like, I really was a bit of a recluse. I didn't go out much. I just was like,
same,
trying to feel my feels and process everything finally. But so I read a lot and that was a book, but I was really cautious with what I read. I wanted to make sure that it made me feel good. And it was inspiring in some way. And it was like the book I didn't know I needed at the time. So I really feel like it was very serendipitous how it was like dropped into my lap like this. But that was like kind of a catalyst for me. And I'm like, okay, well, that's interesting. That's an interesting perspective. Like, what's next? What else can I do to like make myself feel better a little bit? It's almost like working out in a weird way. And I'm going to draw this comparison because like, yeah, sometimes we do not want to work out. We don't want to get up. We don't get out of bed. Like just starting is like the hardest part. It's like what we were just saying about needing help. But then once you start, once you get into it, like those endorphins get going, like you get happier and you're just kind of like, okay, this actually feels good. And then it makes you kind of want to do it more in theory. So I feel like there's a little bit of that to doing these little bits and pieces of things that feel good, this spark joy, as I like to say. Kudos to Marie Kondo for that one. And it really does it does make a difference, like whether or not we realize it, and we're honoring ourselves and our loved one and our grief to be able to do that, because to be in the depths of our grief, like 24/7, like it's not even, not only is it not really, you could probably speak to this even better than I can, but it's like not healthy. And it's like almost not even realistic, like to live in that space. And we just owe it to ourselves to just, you know, bit by bit, like if we feel guilty, I know there's a lot of like guilt around this, so I want to like acknowledge that you've touched on that. So I don't want to sit here and just be like, well, don't feel guilty. Like that's easier said than done. Right. but just, you know, again, like you kind of said, like, you know, bringing it into our daily routine or our little space, like however it makes us feel comfortable, we can work up to it, maybe work something into our morning routine that starts us off on the right foot and just, you know, gets us feeling a little bit hopeful, a little bit inspired for the day. And, you know, that I hear that all the time about morning routines, especially like, you know, that really can help you kind of just set up the rest of your day, you know, and not that things can't come up and not that we might not be triggered or not that we might have some griefy moments or whatever. Those things are inevitable and it can happen. But, you know, I think it's a good coping tool. Cause then if those things do come up, but we're in like a little bit better of a headspace, we'll be able to like, hopefully combat anything that comes to us a little bit better. And like anything else I've learned, at least in my own experience, like this kind of thing does take time. And it takes finding the right things to make us happy. Right. And like you said, like some of the things maybe that made us happy, like pre-loss does not spark the same joy that it did post-loss. Yeah. Like that can happen too. So
yeah, absolutely. I am like a big feeler. I think that's one thing that makes me a great therapist. It's a sensitive feeler person. And I could almost go to those heavy feelings a little too much. Like, this is not something I like to say about myself, but like, I'm very like comfortable with those heavy, dark feelings. That's what makes me a great grief therapist. But also like, I needed to also have some positivity, just a break, or even just a break from it, which, you know, that
balance.
Like that contrast of break, could seem really positive compared to like what I like the feelings that I was in. And so, like you've mentioned, routines really help me, in general, because I am a big feeler and a sensitive person. Routines really help me and they helped me a lot during grief. But, you know, my routine now is not what it was during grief. It was a much gentler, like less, I had less expectations on myself during grief. And also like, you know, I say this like 5 years out, and I appreciate that I'm saying this at a very different place than someone who might be listening to this, but gratitude really helped me and really helps me because I can be a little too comfortable with all the things that are wrong. So if I understand that might not be easy for someone to hear, like I'm saying, be grateful when the worst thing ever has happened to you. But I just wanted to just share that those things helped me, and they're not my natural go-to, but sometimes I need something different than my natural go-to.
Yes. Yeah. Okay. Really quick before we go on to the next one, I just want to mention the gratitude that you just mentioned. I'm really glad you brought that up. It's not a band-aid. It's not the end all be all, of our grief. So yeah. I just want to set that expectation that like, it's, you know, it's not to just say like, okay, find gratitude with what's in front of you now and that's it and whatever. Like gratitude comes in a lot of different forms and we can find it in a lot of different areas of our life. And no, it is not something we need to tap into right away, or nor do we. I preach gratitude practices for sure with anybody that I've coached or anything like that. But is it the end all be all? No, it is like a little slice of the whole coping tools pie that there is out there, but it does, you know, in acknowledging what you do have right now, it does not negate what you have lost. Mm-hmm. It does not take away from what you've lost, and you can still mourn that just as deeply as you would without gratitude. Right. But we, you know, we do have limited time here. We do there is so much beauty around us still, even in grief, even after loss. And so, yeah, so it's got kind of like this positive mindset that we were talking about. You know, my mindset work is like such a big thing. That's a whole nother topic. But like, just to like, what does it hurt to spend, you know, 5 minutes? Like I have this in my losses become gains daily journal. Like there's a little bit of a gratitude thing in there. And like, what does it hurt to take 2 minutes out of your day to be like, what are three things I'm grateful for today? And I'm telling you, like that, amongst many other things I did to help my healing journey with my grief, just that little bit, whether it was just the coffee I was drinking that day or just like my dog being cute and I was just like grateful she was still around at the time, you know, like just those little things, how can that hurt you to acknowledge and just a little bit? So I just want to like set that expectation with the gratitude piece, but like, it's just a piece of it all, but it is an important piece too.
Yeah. And I guess like maybe that was really good what you said. And maybe like I can kind of like talk about what I mean when I say gratitude. Like for me, it was, my gratitude was there's something in my life to live for. There's some day that it's going to be like almost like a hope. Not necessarily like, oh, everything in my life is good and I'm so happy about all this. It was like a sense of hope that it wasn't just going to be this terrible all the time. And so yeah, maybe hope is like a better word.
Yeah. Both but, kind of in their own ways. Like, yeah. And it's not, I understand we don't find that hope right away. It doesn't, it feels very far away sometimes. It feels like this like elusive thing. And it's not like we have this hope 24/7 necessarily.
Right.
We all have our moments in life, whether we've lost a loved one or not. Like we grieve so many little things throughout the day. Like I said, we had talked about like a loss of expectation and things like that. Like, you know, there's little mini griefs that we have along the way too. So, but yeah, I think paying attention to the things that do work out, that do bring us joy and happiness, that are adding value to our life, like that deserves to be seen and, you know, appreciated.
Yeah. And it was a struggle for me. It really was. So if you're hearing all this and you're thinking, oh my gosh, well, I could never be like that. Well, I wasn't always like hopeful or grateful. But I knew that was not like, it was helpful for me to try to tap into that, even just for a little bit, even just tap into it some, and then I could go back to, you know, the dark, heavy feelings. Yeah. I used to say I was in the underworld. I'm so dramatic. I was like, I'm in the underworld and everyone else is on earth and they don't get me. But it wasn't helpful to stay in that mindset. So, you know, like coming back to earth sometimes.
Yeah. Just visiting for like a hot sack.
Yeah. But I really did feel like such a different species than everyone else. And even though like I had family going through the same losses, it just felt like I was so different.
But actually, okay, so it's really funny that you mentioned the whole underworld, but like what you just said about, I laugh with the feeling like a different species, because that actually is sort of a funny lead into the last grief myth that we have is I need to get back to normal. Yeah. And I love that. And I love how you just worded that, because it's just like, what is normal? Is there a normal? Am I normal? Will I ever be normal? Like, what is normal? So what are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, like I said, I kind of felt like I was separate, apart. I was in the underworld. Other people have said it's like they're on another planet. And then it's this idea of like, I've got to get back to how I was before. I've got to like get myself together. My mom used to say like, you know, like get it together. Come on, keep going. And that's not what you can do with grief. There is no getting back to normal. You are changed and you have to grieve yourself as well. And this loss stays with you. It impacts you. You're going to be different. So that idea of I've got to get back to normal, I've got to get with it, I've got to shake it off, I've got to get it together. That's just not helpful, because you have to learn how to live in this new normal and how to carry this loss. And it's not your fault that you're quote unquote not normal. And I feel like that, that way of speaking to ourselves, I've got to get back to normal. I've got to get it together, shake it off. It's almost like it's my responsibility. It's my fault. And really it's like grief happens, tragic, bad things happen. And it's okay to take time to slow down. And it's okay if you change. And of course you will. And maybe trying to write down, well, what is my new normal? Mm-hmm. That could be a great exercise for people. What did my life look like before, or even like what does it look like now, or even just like what is new normal? New normal means that I'm parenting alone, and new normal means that, you know, I had to move. And those might not be fun things to say, but it is good to define it. But, you know, new normal might mean me and my new neighbor have become pretty close.
I love that. Yeah. I think I've mentioned this on the podcast too before, but like, you know, our brain is, it's different. It's changed. It's rewiring. It's still in the process. I mean, probably that process probably never ends. Like I know what I'm talking about. I'm not a scientist, but like, but you know, we're kind of ever changing and ever evolving regardless of whether or not we've been through loss. So, you know, with experience and experiences, like our brain, you know, takes all that in, it processes it. Mm-hmm. It gives us new predictions and develops patterns and things based on what we go through, what we live through and everything. And so, you know, oh my God, our poor brain, like we have to give that time to mm-hmm. catch up and figure it all out too. And it's doing its best to do that. But yeah, to rush the process, like, you know, again, I know there's a lot of external factors that can make us feel like we need to get back to normal. And also too, you know, get back to normal can mean a lot of things as well. Like, I guess that's sort of in the eye of the beholder, but like, you know, a lot of people might also think like, I need to get back into my routine, or oh my God, I have to go back to work on Monday. And like, what is that going to look like? And that doesn't feel normal anymore. You know, how am I even supposed to do that? And so, like a lot of the things we've talked about today, I feel like it's just something that can really mean a lot of things and look different depending on the situation. But yeah, I think really just overall knowing that your normal has changed, there is kind of no going back to what it was before. And then you almost mourn that. You're like, well, damn, I liked how things were before. It's just like, but you know, unfortunately, if the circumstances are what they are, you can't change it. Like, I love the exercise that you mentioned doing, because I feel like it grounds you in reality a little bit, whether or not you've even processed it yet. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. I don't want to speak for you, but I'm sure you can empathize with this. Like, as far as not having our parents around, like, I mean, there are still some days where I am trying to figure that out, or I'm trying to like be like, wow, that actually happened. But like, by and large, I've processed it. But you know, that normal now, like, that's completely different to when they were here and alive and happy and everything was fine. So yeah, it's like you've been saying, you know, carrying our grief differently, figuring out how to do that. And you know, there's that whole like time heals all wounds myth that we've talked about, but like, I think that's why people often say that, or there's, oh, give it time, be patient, whatever, because there is like a tiny bit of truth to that in some of the cases where like, yeah, some of it is going to take time for the intensity of it all to lessen, for us to get used to living in this new normal, whatever that means for us now. But that's why talking to somebody, coping tools, finding the right things to help us along is so important, because as we've mentioned, hopefully this goes without saying, time alone is not going to do that for us, you know?
Yeah. I like what you said about like that get back to normal might mean different, something different to everyone. That's such a good point, because you might think, oh, I've got to get back to normal. Like, I've got to get back to work. And if I'm back at work doing my thing, then I'm back to normal. But really, you're cognitively, like you talked about with your brain, so overloaded with processing and trying to navigate, even in your own brain, this loss. And so then your ability to think about spreadsheets and emails or whatever it is that you do. So you might be in the building, you know, technically working, but you're not back to quote unquote normal.
Your mind is like on another planet somewhere.
Yes, in the underworld. So be patient with yourself. That it takes a long time. And I wish that corporate America understood this point because, yeah, getting back to, yeah, that's a whole other podcast, isn't it?
Yeah. I actually did literally do an entire podcast episode, not on that specifically, but just about grieving while at work. And that's, oh my God, that's like a whole nother animal. But, but yeah, there's like, a normalcy to that. How, you know, whether if you're a parent and you're parenting, whether it's a partner loss or it's a child loss or whatever else around you, like, I mean, it's just figuring out what normal even means or looks like without this void in our life, whatever this is. But yeah, I mean, that's the nature of the beast.
Yeah, absolutely. And yeah, you might be in the world doing the things that you were doing before, but you're showing up so differently. I can remember thinking about, well, how do I have friendships now? Yeah, because I'm so, I felt that I was so different than the people around me, and that I didn't know if I should be like Shay, the friend who's cool and happy to be here, or like Shay, the griever who's like could cry at any minute. And so it was really hard to, for myself to balance that. And I remember speaking to someone about this. She wasn't my therapist, but she's a therapist friend. And I was like, I just don't know how I'm doing at these social interactions. And she was like, does Tim say anything afterwards? Because I would ask my husband, like, how did I do? And he said that I was fine. And she said, well, you needed to trust him that you're doing okay. But I didn't feel like I was doing a good job of being normal because I felt so strange. But that's something I really stuck with me. That she was right. I needed to trust him that I was doing okay. And that's, you know, people who love me would kind of help me if I wasn't. Yes. But I think that's something that I encounter with grievers I work with a lot. They kind of feel like they seem so different. And then they're like upset that work is treating them the same. But I'm like, but you seem okay. You seem like yourself. We are so good at doing that.
Oh my God, that's an amazing point. I'm actually really glad you brought that up, and we can kind of, I think that's a perfect place to wrap this episode up, because that is such a great point. There are so many of us out there that can put on a really good poker face, or we are just dying inside, but we are like trying our best to show up, whether that is at work, whether that's figuring out how to be like the same friend that we were, but like we are different now in some way, but we're still trying to figure out what that even means and looks like, and we don't even know yet, or like that can all evolve, like what we end up doing in our careers, what the friendships that we keep or we don't. You know, sometimes grief enables us to grow, which is amazing, but sometimes that means evolving out of things that no longer bring value to our lives or no longer serve us in some ways. And so, and that's, you know, a gift in a weird, twisted way, but also that's yet another thing that we have to navigate. So I think like with so many of these myths and things that we've been talking about, like, it's just a testament to the fact that like when so many people think of grief, it's like this earlier on process. And it's, there's such this misconception that it doesn't go on for as long as it does. But like, if anybody takes away anything here today, or if they're, you know, you're even years out and still struggling or whatever, or if you're like early in your grief, so to speak, but like you're kind of trying to get a roadmap of like what it's going to look like, there's no freaking roadmap. Okay, I hate to break it to you, but like there's no
but there's a mini series that you can get.
It's just, we're all just figuring it out as we go. So we can laugh about it now, but at the same time, I hope in like, we laugh, but like in a way, I hope that's like comforting, because like, we're all just, it's like parenting. Like you're just here trying to figure it out. Don't know, you know, depends on the day, like, you know, but we can all sort of embrace that chaos together in some ways. And, but yeah, that's like, again, going back to, you know, the second grief myth today, it's just like getting the help that you need in whatever way that you might need it. If you're even questioning, I'm not questioning getting help, but if you're, it's kind of like what we were saying too, is like, if you're kind of putting it off for whatever reason, or if you're kind of iffy on it or on the fence, like there's, if you're even thinking about needing help or getting help, like there's probably something in you that's like, let's get some help. So
yeah, invest in yourself.
Yeah. Yep. Trust your intuition for sure.
Yeah. And there's lots of ways. Like, you have a membership, I do one-on-one. I think you do one-on-one too. And then I have the series. So groups, like you mentioned, Facebook groups, there's other kinds of grief groups out there, books, all kinds of ways, podcasts, like listening to, I listen to a lot of podcasts. That was very comforting for me.
Yeah. Yeah. Same for sure. Yeah. And so I, hopefully anybody listening today can just, you know, again, walk away with the fact that like help is out there. You're just fine for needing it. We all do along the way, whether you need it right now or you might down the line, like it's out there, it's available. Thankfully, like, yes, there's still a long way to go as far as like grief literacy, but it is improving. There is more and more help out there. So hopefully that helps.
That's a good point. That's out there. Thankfully, like, because the grief has shifted so much in the psychology world.
Yeah.
Freud used to say that there was something wrong with you if you were grieving and thinking about the person who died. You need to just get back into, get back to normal. I guess Freud would have said that. So I'm so glad that we're at this point now. And of course, there's still ways to go. But I, you know, I think that we do have a lot of resources today, thankfully.
Yeah. And I hopefully it's becoming more like normalized that like, I think there's a little ways to go on this one too, but you know, grief is something that we all do go through. We all will go through. And there's, again, there's no shame in getting the help. There's no, like I said, there's no rule book. There's no roadmap, so to speak. There are things out there to help, but it's like we've all talked about today, just to summarize this, like it's also individualized. We all just need to kind of find what works for us, but that's the beautiful part. And like, and I always encourage people, like, dare I say, have some fun doing that. Like, I don't want that to sound like more work. It's just kind of like, well, use this. Listen, if we can't change our circumstances, we didn't ask for this, certainly, but this is a really unique opportunity that we now have to rediscover ourselves a little bit. And yeah, we might mourn what our normal was previously, but there is, I don't want to say opportunity that comes with grief and loss, but there's just, you know, there is an opportunity for growth and learnings and this evolution that we might not have gone through had we not experienced what we have. So I'm not trying to say that's like a light at the end of the tunnel per se, or that there's like, that's the silver lining, but you know, just to prop that door open today in case anybody needed to hear that, just wanted to throw that out there.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, like looking back on, it was horrible, you know, the journey, I guess that you could say that I went through, but I'm in a different place now. And that's possible because I did get help.
Yep. Perfect. Well said. Yeah. Same here. All right. This was a great conversation as usual. I love how these just go in like all different directions.
Me too.
Like it's so good. I want these conversations to be open for whatever comes up. Cause I truly meant to, I think that whatever is meant to be said in these episodes are things that people need to hear. So if you're listening today and you've made it this far, thank you so much for tuning in and listening to this. Like I said, Shay's Grief Myths mini series, you can find all of that, the link on that in the show notes and all of that. Shay, really quick. Can you just mention like your website and all that, like where people can find you on social media and all that good stuff?
Yeah, my website where the miniseries is thegriefgirly.com. And I'm known on the internet as The Grief Girly, and on Instagram and TikTok at The Grief Girly.
Awesome. Nice and consistent. Easy to remember.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for this amazing conversation today. Loved every second of it as usual. And yes, everybody go check that out. Remember, you are not alone. We are here to help, put smiles on your faces, all the good things. And we're just sending everyone lots of love today. I am sending you a huge thank you for tuning into today's episode, my friend. I'm so grateful you're here and for the steps you're taking to heal your heart, open your mind, fulfill your soul, learn, grow, and evolve, and move through this crazy thing called life in big, beautiful, impactful ways. Visit lossesbecomegains.com for my blog, ways to work with me, to shop my daily journal, and so much more. And be sure you're following along on Instagram and Facebook at Life with Grief Podcast. I love seeing new faces, meeting new people, hearing your stories, and supporting you however I can.
Be sure to hit that subscribe button if you haven't already. If you haven't left a rating or a review, please do so. I would so appreciate it. Or if you feel so inclined to share this episode or this podcast with someone who could use it too. I'll catch you in the next episode.